In our study of the Gospel of John, as we have come to chapter 7, entering into the last 6 months before his crucifixion, and reminding you, as we did, that they are now, the Lord is set to go to the cross. The disciples, the apostles are there, but they're on the side, as it were. He's targeted the cross and to get there. And thus, in the process, as he goes to the Feast of Tabernacles on that day, which he did, and the people, he goes in the middle of the feast in chapter 7 of John, and in the process, remember they're going to kill him, they want to kill him. Chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, where the Jews, Jerusalem, where the leadership was, because the Jews sought to kill him. They want to kill him. And verse 31, 731, or 732 better, the time. And the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So the hierarchy, the Jewish leadership, the Jewish military, all the hierarchy, Sadducees, Pharisees, all of them, they're all busy trying to get, here's this great couple of million people or so in Jerusalem, and trying to find, where is he? Where is he? That's the cry. And so therefore we went to verse 7, chapter 7, verse 11. And the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? Where, and remember the word H-E, means that one. That's a derogatory. Where is that troublemaker? Where is that worthless one? Where is he? Where is he? That isn't a good, it's for bad. Where is he? That's what we want to know. They're trying to get him. And the crowd. The crowd has to be careful, because who knows listening? Who? And you don't want to be look like you're in favor of the Lord. You don't want to look like you're in with him. So therefore, they have to be very careful as they talk. Some said he was, as you remember, as we did the context. Some said he was good. And some said he was, in verse 12, and some said he was a deceiver. Some said he was a devil. Some said he was a prophet. They're all over the place. Now, but the point that we wanted to get, again, in the light of the day, is in verse 13. Howbeit, in all of the scuttle, in all the people talking, in all the activity looking for him, here's the crowd. And we shared, put yourself in the middle of the crowd, if you would, in this crowd or in our present day. And no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. We don't want to say the wrong thing publicly. Who knows who's listening and how it will be reported, even in our day. At work, school, wherever, politic, job. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You have to be very careful, very careful. Fearful, 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 fearful. Now, so in the light of that, and reminding yourself, I don't need it, but I think we're at a particular time in history we haven't been in ever, where you have China out there in the sea with Japan trying to take stuff that belongs to Japan and everything. And they're out there, China and Japan. You got North Korea and South Korea. You've got Pakistan and India. And you've got Turkey. And you've got the Ukraine and Russia. You've got the Egypt and Syria and Libya. You've got all the different countries. You've got NATO and the needs for oil and gas and all of that stuff. And you've got all of these things going on. You've got Islam, ISIS, and you've got ISIS in particular, and then you've got Islam right under, supporting it, as it were. And you've got Islam, and you've got all of that activity, terrorism. You've got them crossing the Mexican border. You've got all kinds of things going on. Who knows who's where, going to do what, when? We don't know. someone on a bicycle, someone in the store. You don't know who's going to do what, when, where, how, why. And then you've got the plague, Ebola, and all that stuff. And we're in an atmosphere, if you want to see it, that is could be very, very fearsome, and very frightening, to say the least, because you just don't know. And it isn't just across the ocean now, it's at home. Who knows how many problems, people, groups are here waiting for the right moment. So here's all of that taking place, and that creates a great deal of apprehension, fear, etc. So now, having said that, and therefore you want to be, as a believer, on top of it. You don't want to be underneath it. You want to be able to cope. You don't want to be copeless. Copeless. Remember my little copeless doll I have? He can't stand up. There's no support in anything. We want to be able to cope. Now, while you're here, just to remind you, over to John chapter 14. And in verse 6, directly, our Lord is going to tell them, as you know, John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, saith unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no way to get successfully down the corridor of time at any day, month, year. I want to be able to get to God the Father. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He is the truth, the reality of it all. And he gives the life in order to get there. So now, having said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he would say later in the upper room before he goes out for the crucifixion, chapter 16, you'll recall, chapter 16 and in verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You're going to be in the world. In the world you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, all kinds of stuff, anxieties, and etc. But be of good cheer, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So, God, you're going to have to. You're the way, and you didn't give us any baloney about what life is going to be about. I level with you. It's going to be one tough job. You're in the territory of the enemy. The world loves darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. They don't want to get into the light. And they're doing what they're doing. So now, God, help us. So now, if you would, allow me to just try to fumble through this. Mark chapter 7. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. And I would remind you, if I may, Mark chapter 7, may I go to verse 17. I'll even read verse 16 to stir our hearts. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from without enter into the man, it cannot defile him? From without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him. Verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth into the drought, and purgeth all meats. In other words, you have a physical system, and all the food you eat, everything, is for your physical system. It isn't for you as a person. Your person, soul, spirit, does not need anything. It's fully, functionally alive. That's what it is. And you need the other, though, for your physical body in which you live in. So now, the food is for the body. That's right. verse 20, and said, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. So what's coming out of you, not what goes in you. For from within, verse 21, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now, verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we're looking, we're taking a look at the evil, and we're looking at that evil. And we want to start off and keep in mind that every human being houses evil. So all the evil you hear and read about by way of humans, you understand it, it's in you. The problem that is expressed out there in the shootings or the whatever is the same thing that's in you, only it's expressed in them in an outward way, in a way that is not so good. So you want to understand that, so evil. You don't want to think now that the bad guys out there and we're the good guys and we're going to hide. That's like Halloween, you know. We're going to hide from the witches. I don't worry about the witches. I wouldn't worry about them at all. But in the process, you aren't going to hide your children. How are you going to hide them from themselves? You can't hide them from themselves. They have to understand where evil is. Why do people do this? So when I hear and read all these things, I am reminded about my own heart. I'm reminded, my heart, apart from God's grace, I could be doing that. So I want to keep that in mind so that I don't try to wrongly protect myself and go hide somewhere as if I could escape. I can't escape. There is no escape. You're in the world, but what? Not of it. I didn't take you out of the world. I leave you in the world with all of its darkness and evil. Now, hang on. Now, in the light of that, and remember, so keeping in mind, so all the evil is there, and in the process, we need to go and look to God and understand how to get this. So all the good of humanity, all of the human good, all human good does not protect us, does not promote safety, security, and assurance. All the good environment that you could find and try to have, all of that does not protect us. You have an evil heart, period. And the only way you solve an evil heart is for God to save you and give you a new heart in Christ. That's all. So I'm not going to go and say, well, if we have the right environment, give a simple illustration. In the millennium, what do you think of the environment when Jesus Christ is literally ruling over all the world? When the lion lays down with the lamb and everything is super duper. We don't have hospitals, we don't have armies, we don't have anything. We don't need them. That's environment, isn't it? But you know what? The heart problem is there. And as soon as God takes away the rod of iron and allows it, at the end of 1,000 years, they rebel as what? As the sand of the sea. So you say, well, boy, they're good. No, they aren't. The environment won't make it. So don't be deceived. If you just have good environment, it'll be nice. No, it's true. It's easier. There's no question. But it does not eliminate the problem and the evil that is there. It has to be another solution. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Over, if you would, please, in your Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy in chapter 28. Picking up, if I may. I want to remind you and myself about Israel. Israel did not do well, and God forewarned them before they ever got going in the land. In the wilderness, God forewarned them. If they didn't trust him, they were in trouble. And so here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, picking up in verse 63, as you know, it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked off the land whether you goest to possess it. In other words, if you don't do it, it isn't going to make it. You won't make it. Verse 64. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of life. Now think of Israel over there, and think how difficult that would be compared to us with the missiles and 1,300 of them, and then they blew them all up, which is very good. But wow, that's tough. It is. God said, listen, until you get your heart right, you're going to be afraid. And anti-Semitism, way back when it started, was because they weren't trusting God. They were God's people. They were God's people, very special, and they were going and leaving and trying to trust the system. The system doesn't save. The system doesn't do a thing to make things good for the human heart. It doesn't do any good. And so therefore, Israel has to get back to trusting God. And in the process, they are always afraid. Always afraid. No matter where they live, they're a Jew. And God, but they don't have God. And therefore, they're afraid. Now, that they're afraid. So here's the world looking at Israel. Is Israel fully, now, thank God for all their abilities and God's grace to them. But they aren't trusting God. You don't hear out of Israel. You don't hear out of Israel the wonderful truths of God's word. You don't hear that. They aren't trusting God. They aren't looking to God. And therefore, the world looks at Israel. And do they see God? They're looking out there to see God. And they don't see God. All they see is Israel, which is trouble for them. And they want to get rid of Israel all the way down the line. Got to get rid of Israel. Now, having said that, thus, that's Israel, and that's the world. So the world's looking at Israel. Israel isn't an example. It isn't an example to fear God. So there's no fear of God because they aren't afraid of God. Why should I be afraid of God? And therefore, the world continues. And thus, here's all the stuff going on. What is to contain it, stop it, restrain it? It isn't happening now, but like we'd like it to be. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to the Leviticus chapter 26. And Israel was promised, if they would believe and trust God, if they would walk in his word, Leviticus 26, if I can, verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give rain, etc., 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 etc. Verse 6, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. You don't have to worry about a wild animal getting you. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, etc. I'm going to be, for I will have respect. I'm going to look to you with favor. I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you if you trust me. But they weren't trusting God and they didn't trust God. So Isaiah chapter 8, moving in history. Isaiah chapter 8. And you would recall, here's the 10 tribes, etc., etc., and the 2 tribes in Jerusalem, etc. And here in Isaiah chapter 8, remember, Isaiah was saying to rebuke them. They didn't want to hear it. Picking up, if I can, verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, all right, now, don't be saying what they do, say ye not, a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Treason, treason. You're telling us we can't trust the Assyrians. Why can't we look to the Assyrians to help us? Why can't we find help apart from, why do we have to look to God for help? Why can't we look where we want to and find help, etc.? Say ye not a confederacy, treason, to all them to whom this people say treason, confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. In other words, we're trying to solve the things of our world that are in flux, in danger. All these different problems are coming nationally, etc., just like our world. And here they are, and they're afraid. People are afraid of this and afraid of that and afraid of this, and what about that? And they're there. The end of verse 12, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. In other words, stop worrying about everyone and everything. You don't want to do that. You want to look to God and trust God. When you look to God and trust God, you'll have the resources to handle the fear. Now hang on, we'll try to put that a little better in focus. So now, they weren't doing that. They needed to do that. They needed to look to God, sanctify the Lord God and of hosts, and let him be your fear. In other words, be looking to God for the outworking of all things. Now, having said that little bit, over in Isaiah chapter 50. Remember one of the problems now. Isaiah chapter 5. I said 50, but drop the 0 and just keep the 5. Things are pretty simple, you know. 5:20. Woe unto them. Now, you've got a problem in society back then and now, more so even now, in a very legislative way, all kinds of ways, politically correct and all that stuff. And verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When you turn everything upside down, it's very hard. We're in a world of evil and darkness. There's God and good, evil and darkness. Evil and darkness prevails. That's our world. So when we call evil and darkness good, the little bit of God and good, now evil isn't God, you really aren't practical, you aren't relevant to our world, to our life. And so we're looking at darkness and evil and calling it good. And when we do that, figure how hard it is to have people come up with a just good common sense thinking. When you turn it all upside down, how are you going to come out with anything? And you say, well, but don't they have any brains? How could they do such a stupid thing? Do you ever say that? How could they make such a stupid decision? Well, they can. They can. It's part of their thinking. So it's real easy for them to do that. And you're trying to figure out, how could they do that? Real easy when you turn it all upside down. So now, having said that little bit, over, if you would, In Isaiah 51, Isaiah chapter 51, God, here we are looking, and Israel and people, we're trying to learn from them, and they don't have a fear of God because they left you out, and you told them it was going to get difficult, and the centerpiece of the world. If you're going to look at the world now and look at all the activity all over, where is the focal point? Europe, Russia, India, China, Venezuela, Cuba, over America? Where's the focal point? Where is the common point, if any? It's Israel. It's Israel. It's the Jews. It's the Palestinians. That's the center. Aha. So now, God, that's the center. So all the world working with that, and thus when they aren't with it, then you can understand the encouragement of darkness to be darker. Hang on to that. Now, in Isaiah 51, God, help us, in the light of the context, verse 12, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die? And the son of man which shall be made as grass. So now, easy, simple thing. Which human do you know, of all humans that you can think of, that won't die? Which human do you know that can't die right now? So, if you don't find any, then God said, listen, I'll read it again. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die? So there's no person anywhere that you should be afraid of, because they all die. Don't they? Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, wherever you want to go. They all die. They all die. Now, God wants to know what you're afraid of, people that die. And made of grass. And verse 13. And forgettest the Lord, thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually. What were they doing? Are you looking to God? No. Hath feared continually every day. Why? Because of the fury of the oppressor. All the bad news, all the trouble out there, all the oppression, all the danger, all the things. Because of the oppression, as it were, ready to destroy. Who knows? Who has Ebola here? Ebola. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? See, now watch. God said, you're afraid. And what does fear do? Fear is ahead of time. Fear is that preparing you. Fear is you're living. It isn't the event. It's the fear of the event. Hang on. And thus, God, what are you going to say at the end? Verse 13. As it were ready to destroy, and where is the fury of the oppressor? You've been worried, 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 worried. Now, time goes on. Did you get Ebola? Did such and such happen? No, it didn't. It could, but it didn't. We're worried about stuff, and we're worried about a big block of stuff that we don't need to worry about. It's true, it's not good, and we need to be on our toes, but don't be worried. It's not going to be what you're looking for. Global warming, they just got a thing, the guy that founded the Weather Bureau, was it? Weather Bureau, just made a big thing and said it's absolutely impossible for global warming. Meteorologically, it's impossible. Global warming is a hoax, a big hoax. I'm beset with people, are you worried about global warming? No, because I have I have able to take my sweater off and be okay, you see. And it's all right. And, you know, and now. So here we are looking, God and Isaiah 44, while we're on it. What are you worried about for? You worry about a lot of things. That's correct. We do. Isaiah 44, picking up, please, directly, if I can, in verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? I've told you. You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. You're trusting the only real God. There is no other God. So there is no other God to confront me, to be in contest with me, to override me. So when you're trusting me, the only God, then you're trusting the highest, the bestest, the mostest, period. And therefore, relax, relax, relax. Our fears are generated in our hearts. We have an evil heart. That's true. That's true. And when God is absent, missing, when good, G-O-O-D, take God out and you've got a zero, when God and good is missing, when God is good and is missing, and you realize that in you dwelleth no good thing apart from God, then something needs to be good enough and strong enough to counter the evil. And in and of yourself and myself, who have an evil heart, in and of and by ourself, I cannot counter evil. I have no resource for it. Without God and without good, I can't do a thing. Do you understand? In and of myself. I hate evil and you want to do whatever, but in and of yourself, you can't do it. And so our fears start with our failure to have the resource to handle the problem. If you don't have the resource to handle the problem, it's very fearsome. Make believe the water, silly illustration we've used, think maybe the water pipe breaks in the basement or something. And breaks in the whatever, living room or something, if you have one. And the water pipe breaks, and you're there. You don't have a wrench. You don't have anything. I don't even know what to do. And here's the water, like a great shooting up and flooding everything. And that is a very, very awesome event, isn't it? And the phone isn't working. So what are you going to do? You're going to get concerned, fear, frustration. You don't know what to do. You don't have resources. But, if so happened providentially, Joe's plumbing firm happened to drive into your driveway by mistake, and he's trying to find an address. He's looking for another place. And he rings the bell and says, "Do you know where such and such house is?" And you say, "What are you?" He said, "I'm a plumber." And you take him in, and he sees the water. He says, "Oh, yeah." He don't care. You care. He don't care. He said, "Let me go get my stuff." And he gets his stuff and does a couple of things. And you know what? He had no problem. He had the resources to fix the problem. Without God and good, your evil heart is full of fears starting in here. And then they go out here. We're afraid of this because I don't have the resource to handle this. That's my problem. I got to have the resources. I don't have the resources. And therefore, in the process, all that I'm looking into, all that I'm trusting in fails. It does not provide. Without God, I am not protected. I am not preventing. I cannot prevent evil. I cannot stop harm. And the fear that is there, out there, out here on the news and everything to be afraid of. The fear of physical, mental, hospital, everything. The fears out here, because I have no resource. I have a fear in here about those fears. And now those fears out here become real, big, big, big. The little fear become giant, because I have no resources. I have no way to handle them. No way to handle them at all. Now, so having said that little bit, over if you would. And so you just want to see why we... I know things are not good. They're not good out there. And it's going to get worse because each thing snowballs into the next thing. You make a big deal about what goes on in this pew, and then the other pews want to know why they can't do something and have notoriety. And all you got to do is keep advertising and do it, and you're going to have... You got the right atmosphere. Global. G-L... Global. Global. You've got global atmosphere. Do you understand? It's made for this. It's made for it. We've generated it politically and otherwise. So, man, we aren't getting out of this one easy. No way. No way is this going to go away. And so, therefore, God, we want to be able to look to you. I want to be able to get through this. I do. I do want to get through it. I don't want to stumble through this wrongly. Over, if you would, please. And remember now, the whole lot of things, but I got a little bit. Remember, fear. Fear is contagious. Fear is. Disease can be contagious. Health is not contagious. Otherwise, you just walk through the hospital and be healthy, and you'd give everybody a taste of health, and they'd all be better. Fear is contagious. When you're not sure, that's an atmosphere. That's worse than Ebola. That's very contagious. Now, and we advertise... We promote fear, don't we? Don't we? On the news, aren't we promoting fear? Without, you know, they don't mean to do it. It's newsy, and you can do it, and we promote it. So, and it's contagious. Doesn't go away. So the more you make me fearful, then I'm fearful. I'm going to do stuff I never do, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Now. So, two things. I hope it got a little bit. Over, if you would, please. Over to John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. God, in his wonderful grace, makes wonderful provision, as you know. In John chapter 14, in the upper room, before he goes out, crucifixion, chapter 14, he's going to give him a word of comfort from the Comforter, and in the light of the Comforter. So in verse 27 directly, peace I leave with you, my peace I leave with you. My, the word peace, healthy, well-being, untroubled, undisturbed, a tranquility that's greater than all turmoil, greater than all trouble, it overcomes all anything, peace, quietness, untroubled. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to know, verse 27, the very first part, I am giving you, I, that which is mine, I give. What are you going to give us in the present tense? I'm going to give you my peace. God, how well are you able to handle all of this peacefully? That means I'm in full control. I'm never over troubled, never disturbed, never at a loss to what to do. There is no plumbing problem I can't fix. I have all the resources and all the riches to do whatever has to be done. I have them. My peace I give to you so that your heart can have my peace. Now, God, you know, here we are. And boy, we're in the world of darkness. Over, if you would please, in closing. Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, picking up, please. And you will notice, you know, this wonderful, wonderful psalm that David, after having a long life of exercise with lions and bears and Goliaths and kings and everything else, and rebellion, etc. Psalm 23, I'll read to verse 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, God, here I am. Here I am in this world of darkness. No light. They don't want light. That's right. Verse 4. Yea, though, moreover, though, I am walking, even though I am in this darkness. I am walking in this world. I am doing it. Even though, I am walking, recognizing the condition, the state, the situation. I understand the world I'm in. Are you sort of blind about darkness and evil and bad? No, not at all. I understand it's darkness. Men love darkness. The world is, we're in the rulers of darkness. And God has sought to bring light, and light is rejected by darkness. So now, God, here we are looking. And yea, though I'm walking, I am literally walking, present tense, moving through, and in the process. And the word walking, remember, has to do with living. Just think of an illustration of a plant growing. The plant is growing up big. The river is flowing. I am walking in the valley. I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And here death has to do with the death shadow, the obscurity, darkness, deep shadow, darkness, ever so dark. Thick darkness sometime. All darkness. Well, when does it get light? Well, it isn't light. It's darkness. And if you hope next week the world will wake up and the world will fix things, the government will fix things, the school will fix things, your job will fix things, everyone gets light, don't hold your breath. Men love women. Men, women love darkness rather than light. They don't want to fix it. So if you're waiting for this big revolution to happen, boy, everyone in work, we're all happy and do everything. Politics are gone and we profit sharing and all of that, you know. Relax. Not going to happen. It's darkness. Always darkness. Well, how about a little light? There isn't any, except in your heart. Thus, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of deep darkness, pitch darkness, obscurity. Yea, though I walk through it, I'm in it, I'm walking in it, I live in it. I live in this darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. That's right, no evil. But evil is in me. That's right. I'm not going to be afraid. God has done a wonderful thing. The evil, orneriness, lousiness of my own heart, God has crucified that by way of his Son on Calvary's cross. And he has forgiven me all the dumb stuff and all the evil and all the other things that are part of my old nature. And God has forgiven me. Now, I have them. They're all there. But I'm a new creature in Christ, as we shared in Sunday school. I'm a new creature. And wow, brand new. And I can look to God. And I can trust what God has done for me on Calvary's cross. That's why we always go to the cross. We have communion, preaching the Lord's death until he comes. Why? Because I want to remember why I'm free. I'm free. Here I am, with all alive, and yet, God, I still have this old nature, but God, you've already settled it, you already condemned it, and you see me as a new creature in Christ. That's right. That's right. And therefore, I don't have to fear evil. I don't. God, I have you. Have you? Ah, let me see. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And, verse 4, cause, thou art what? With me. See? You're with me. Ah, there you go. Wow. And thy rod and thy staff, thy rod, authority, the staff, support. God, you're able to support us and protect us, and you have all authority to do what you do. So we're going to trust you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thus, God, you're telling me, for thou art with me. That's right, together with, together in companionship of aid, fellowship, etc. So I have a unique relationship to you. Uh-huh. And therefore, back to what we shared a moment ago, when the heart is enjoying the wonderful person of God and his good, that takes care of all the fears. At least you're okay here. A lot of things to be afraid of out here, but nothing in here. So you've got the resources in here to keep walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Keep going, keep going. School, work, home, much easy, pain, and all the rest of it. You just keep plowing along. That's what you can do. Yea, though I'm walking in the valley, God, and I will fear no evil. It's plenty there, and there'll be more of it tomorrow. But boy, boy, God, thank you for the comfort, for coming along and encouraging the heart, the God of all comfort. God encouraging the heart. Wow. So now, thou art with me. Thou art with me. Do you know there was a fellow in the missionary way back in China a long, long time ago? And in the process, there was a rebellion, and they were after the missionary. And the missionary sought to get on the boat, and he got on the boat, and then they chased him, and he had to jump off the boat. And they were throwing all the spears and arrows at him as he was in the water. And somehow, he survived. He survived. Later he was asked, what verse came to your mind as you were in the water and all those spears and arrows were hitting and landing around you? He said, verse? He was with me. Do you understand? He was with me. I had a moment in my life. Where I said, should I have a verse? He said, shh. I don't need a verse. What verse should we bring to God? It's God himself. Not the verse. Do you understand? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How are we going to handle it? It's no secret. It's no trick. You're just going to have the resources. And God happens to be bigger than, better than, more than anyone, anywhere, anyhow. So whatever you want to conjure up, Right now, if we want to drop a nuclear bomb on top of the Middletown, it's all right. It's all right. If you're saved, your life in God, in Christ, cannot be interrupted at all. Do you understand? Your relationship can never be disturbed. Your enjoyment of it is something else. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, who are we anyway? So deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. Help us, God. Help us. And we'll thank you very, very, very much. God, thank you. Thank you that thou art an ever-present help. Thank you that you will never leave nor forsake. Thank you, God, that we can proceed down the corridor of time in the valley of darkness with all the ups and all the downs and all the hard things and all the things that lie ahead. God, with you, it's all right. Thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. You may like to turn in your hymnal, if you would, to 408. 408.